I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. We'll be spending a little time there and see what God has for us there this morning. As a teenager, I was roller skating and needed to go to the restroom. And so these restrooms are positioned in such a way that you can just skate off the rink and into the restroom. I wheeled off of the rink and into the restroom, and when I came into the restroom, I realized I was in the ladies' room. And if you ever tried to stop on roller skates, that's not a real easy thing to do, so I just circled around, said hi, and went out again. I was distracted. I missed the sign. And there are many of us here this morning that know exactly what I'm talking about. There are times we become distracted, and we miss the signs. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 6. I'll read this here scripture. Let's look at it together. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So if it's different than yours, follow along. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors or the doors in the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message four times and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, and it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come together, come therefore, and let us consult together. Then I sent to him saying, no such thing as you say. Then I sent to him saying, no, such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of somebody else, the son of another guy who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because of Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, Redeemer, my God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and the prophetess Nadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Hallelujah. They saw the work that was done, and they concluded that this work was done only by God because it had been accomplished in 52 days. So looking at it, understanding that at the beginning of the chapter, we have this here, these people coming against Nehemiah and trying to distract him from the work that God called him to do. And I was reminded again how easily we're distracted. You know, If you have to put your makeup on while you're driving or eat your cereal, please put your seatbelt on. So if you slam into somebody, which you're going to, that you don't go through the windshield. But we've all been to places like that. We've all had that time where we were distracted by something driving on the road, and all of a sudden, traffic's stopping in front of you, and you're looking for somewhere to go. Why? Because you were distracted. Either you were looking at something along the road, or you're messing with the tape player or the radio. I guess tape players are kind of a thing of the past. Kind of gave away my age there. I started with 8-tracks, and then that went away. I was actually going through a cupboard here the other day and found a box full of those old 8-track tapes. Like, I wonder if you could even play the things anymore. But anyways, that's off the subject. We get sidetracked. We get distracted, you see. And we go off on any old thing, and our minds are so busy. Our minds are so full of things and stuff. For instance, in a field, we have 30 cows, 28 chickens. How many didn't? Turn with me to Hezekiah chapter 2, verse 28. Really? You see what I'm saying? We're so easily distracted. There is no Hezekiah chapter 2. Don't bother looking for it. And you're still wondering what in the world? 30 cows and 28 chickens? How many didn't? Okay, I'll give you the answer because I don't want you sitting here thinking about it all morning when I'm trying to share this lesson with you. There were 30 cows, 20 of them ate chickens. How many didn't? It was 10. Anyway. Do you have an unfinished project laying around somewhere? You have an unfinished project that you started? I have unfinished projects that I've started. I have books that I've started that I've never finished reading because I was distracted with something else. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about. You start a project. It lays there for the next 20 years, unfinished, because you're distracted with something else. We understand distractions. We know what life is about, full of distractions, because every day we are faced with distractions. We are faced with distractions physically. We are faced with distractions mentally. And we are faced with distractions spiritually. And this is exactly what was happening to Nehemiah here. As these people came to Nehemiah, they were trying to distract him from the work that God had called him to do. And I'm here to tell you this morning that everyone sitting in this room this morning has been called to do a work. And there is one this morning that wants to distract you with everything within his being, and that is Satan, the enemy of God. He wants to distract you. So I challenge you this morning to be aware of the fact that this enemy of God is trying to distract you. And he will use any means possible to distract you from the work of God. And I believe this morning that we need to understand, even as Paul shared in Ephesians 6:12, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Remember that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against the enemy of God. It is Satan who is using the means, whatever he can find, to distract you. In Peter, we also find that, first of all, the first tactic that Satan uses and has used down through the ages of time is the tactic of fear. He will try to strike fear in your heart. He will distract you by making you fearful. And the Bible says in Peter, 1 Peter 5:8, that the devil goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so Satan is coming to us in this here form of a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, because he wants to distract us. He really, up against God, is nobody. But he wants to find a way to distract us. And he is walking about like a roaring lion trying to distract us. And the other way that he comes then is a deceiver. He comes to us as a deceiver to distract us. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says that Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light. He comes as an angel of light, deceiving us, getting us sidetracked by things that look right and look good. And then we are sidetracked from doing the work that God has called us to do. And I'm here to tell you this morning that each and every one of us has been assigned the task of doing the work of God. No one is exempt. It doesn't matter where you're at in your walk. If you're just joining the family of God, or if you're 20, 30 years old in the family of God, you are still called to do the work that God has called you to do. Whatever method the enemy employs, whether it be fear or flattery, bear in mind that his aim is to distract and to destroy us. And we look at Nehemiah and what was happening there as he was attempting to finish up the city, and they were attempting to distract him, and how he responds. I want us to see that this morning, is what his response was to it. Many people this morning, I'm afraid, are faltering in their Christian pilgrimage because they have listened to advice of well-meaning people who were actually being used of the enemy to give advice that was not sound or of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Many people this morning, I believe, are faltering in their walk with God because they have allowed themselves to take advice or listen to someone who is a well-meaning person, whether it be a teacher, a preacher, or a parent, or whatever it is, that was presenting something that looked right that was not true or was not for you. In verse 3 of chapter 6. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? It is suggested that this here city of Ono was a very coveted place to go. It was down by the lake. It was a beautiful resort type of town. And they're asking Nehemiah to come and meet with them there. And Nehemiah says, no, how could I do this? How could I leave the work that God has called me to do and go down here and meet with you? And my point this morning is this. I believe that there are many times that Satan will come to us and he will propose something that looks really good and right. Because the idea was that he would come down there and work out the differences between them. But their plot was that when he comes there, that they would kill him. So I'm again this morning reminding us that there are times that it will look good and it will look right when the enemy is presenting it as a way to draw you away from the work of God so that he can destroy you. And what I find interesting is Nehemiah's response. That even though they came to him four times, they came to him saying, you know, come to us, come and meet with us, come and meet with us. And every time Nehemiah is saying, no, I can't do this. And I wonder how often we get worn down when the enemy continues to present himself or present an option to us, present something that looks right to us. And so the first time we have the power to say no, and we can say, no, I'm not going to do that because I would need to leave the work of God, first of all, to do that. So I'm not going to do that. Second time they come, we weaken a little bit. We start to consider, well, could it really be so bad? Could it be something, could it be that bad? That if I just go and try and make things right with them, work things out with them. If I would go, you know, this would be a good thing. And then maybe by the third time we give in and we do it. And I want to call us again to the attitude of Nehemiah as he resisted and he said no to what they were presenting. You know why? Because Nehemiah recognized it as coming from the enemy. And I'm here to ask you this morning, are you recognizing when Satan is trying to distract you? And if you're not, why not? Why do we not have this here intuition or this insight or this ability to connect with the Spirit of God to recognize that when some of the things that Satan is bringing our way are just things to distract us from the work of God? Nehemiah resisted. You know how and why he resisted? Because he knew what his call was and he knew what the work of God was. And I ask you this morning, do you know what the call of God is and what the work of God is in your life? Do you know that? Because when you know that, you will be able to resist the enemy as he comes to you, trying to entice you away from the work of God. Sometimes distractions come to us disguised as harmless things, or even a good option. And those are the things that we need to be aware of. What is the responsibility of each believer this morning? And this is just part of the work that God has called us to. And I just want us to draw our minds back to what the work of God is in each believer's life. If you're here this morning and you have been born again, you have been washed in the blood, you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you recognize this morning that if you were to die, if you were to die and take your last breath this morning, you know where you will spend eternity without a shadow of a doubt. Several weeks ago, a young man attempted to swim across the Delaware River, and he never made it. And I thought about that as he took his last breath, before he went under, as he took his last breath. And the next thing, what happened? What was the next scene in that man's life? Did he wake up to an eternity in heaven? Or did he wake up to an eternity? Now, if there's somebody here this morning that knows that man, I don't know the man, okay? But I'm asking you this question this morning. If you were in his place and you realize that you're taking your last breath, you can't go anymore, your body shuts down, you can't even swim, you can't kick your feet or anything, it's like you become paralyzed and you're going under, and the next breath you take is sucking in water, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity at that point? You know, we always preach here on a Sunday morning like we're preaching to people who are born again, washed in the blood and saved. But I have to believe this morning that it's possible that in this congregation this morning there are people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there is no greater joy, there is no greater release than to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And that when you take your last breath, it doesn't matter because things are right between you and God. And that is in accepting His Son, Jesus, as the finished work. The finished work. And knowing, without a shadow of a doubt this morning, that you are prepared to meet Him. You see, there are so many things in life that will call us to be distracted from what really matters. What really matters. Because with the accepting of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there comes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who empowers you to be able to do the work that God has called you to do. And it's in that empowering. It is through being saved, through the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not the work that saves you. It is through salvation that we have the ability to be all that God wants us to be. One of the responsibilities of a believer is this. Instruction. Okay, so how do I become saved? How do I know? Like this morning, if I recognize that I am not saved and I do not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the first thing to do is recognize the need. I am needy. I am needy. I have a place in my heart that is not filled, and I am needy of salvation. There is no way that I can do it. I need the blood of Jesus to purify me and cleanse me from all sin. And I assure you this morning, if you come before God and you acknowledge that to Him, He will, without a shadow of a doubt, step in, provide the blood of His Son. And if you are willing to repent and turn from the ways of sin and wickedness, He will draw you. He will take you into a blissful life of glory with Him, without a doubt. The responsibility of each believer is this. Instruction in God's Word. We are called to read, study, and apply the Bible to our lives so that we know and understand. And I believe one of the biggest distractions to the witness of the Christian today is the lack of knowledge in God's Word. The lack of knowing the Word of God. I am here to tell you this morning, if you don't hear anything I say this morning, hear this. We must become immersed in the Word of God so that we can share the truth of the gospel with the people in this world that are lost and dying, because there is no other hope. There is no other hope. Amen. We need to have the Word of God so in our hearts. And I believe that one of the things that grieves me this morning is that we become so distracted with so many other things that are so much more important than finding out the truth of God's Word. So as children of God, I believe that one of our works, one of the things that we should do, is learn and know the Word of God so that we have it to share with those who do not believe. I believe that we are equipped for the work of the ministry. And this morning, I believe that God has, as we went through the gifts, the study of the gifts, God has equipped each of us with the ability, with a gift, with the ability to reach out and to be part of ministry in whatever way that God calls you to be. And I believe that is, again, one of the things that there are so many things that come in life to distract us from being that person of ministry, that you are a person of ministry. You don't have to be part of some kind of ministry to be a person of ministry. Are you with me? You, each one of you, has been called to be an evangelist of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each one of us has that responsibility. Each one of us has that calling. And the church is here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The church is here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, that we can go out of these doors on a Sunday morning and we can bring the gospel and proclaim the gospel message to a lost and dying world, and we can bring people in. Praying with faith. I believe that we are to be fervent in prayer. And again, there are so many things. And now those of you that know that when you get on your knees before God, you are bound to be distracted. I thought about the numerous times that I went hunting, and my goal was not so much to get a deer as it was to spend time in the woods where I could clear my mind, where the phone wasn't ringing, nobody was asking questions, and just to clear my mind and to find that I could sit a whole day in the woods with my mind so cluttered, I never had time to pray. You see, the enemy wants to distract us above everything else. You see, you don't need to get involved in quote, wicked, evil things like drinking and drugs and sexual activities and kind of things like that. Just keep your mind busy. Stay distracted. That's all Satan needs for you and for me. Caring for others, I believe, is another thing that is the responsibility of each and every believer that is sitting here this morning. We have the responsibility of caring for each other. I believe that in a body of believers like this, there should be without a shadow of a doubt that everyone should know that they are cared for. And if you go to somebody on a Sunday morning and you welcome them here on a Sunday morning, you find out they've been coming here 6 months already, so what? So at least you attempted to welcome them. Yeah, I wish we would know, and we would not have to walk up to somebody and welcome them and they were already coming here 6 months. I wish that would never happen. But don't let that stop you from welcoming people. You see what I'm saying? Not that big a deal. So, okay. So I missed it. You know what I'm saying? Do it. Care for people. Reach out and care for people. Send them cards. Send them words of encouragement via text or Facebook or whatever it is that you have. We have so many electronic devices today that we can send words of encouragement at the snap of a finger. What's stopping us? Sorry, I got a little intense. What's stopping us? What is stopping us from doing that? You know what? I believe we're distracted. I believe we're distracted. We get distracted with our own things in life and we fail to put into what someone else is going through. So I encourage you this morning. Nehemiah was not distracted. He was caring for the people. He was building the walls, not for himself, but for the people. He was building the walls. And he was not distracted, no matter what they could, what they tried to do. I believe this is huge, this here caring for others. Telling others of the gospel. We all know that we're called to do that. We're all commissioned to do that. Tell others of the gospel. You don't need to be part of a program. You don't need to be part of a church. You need to be born again, washed in the blood. And when you are, you have the credentials to share the gospel message with someone who doesn't know it. Are we doing it? If we're not, why not? Are we distracted? Friends, just like Nehemiah, we have been called to a great task. We have been called to a great task, and Satan, the enemy of God, is presenting everything he can to distract us. Jumping on down to, then they come along with this. Finally, they've been asking them to come and meet with them. And then they come along with this here letter, and they specify that it was an open letter. And an open letter was something that anybody could read. It was an open letter. And in this letter, it says this, it is reported. So not being able to distract him with deceit, they turn to gossip. They turn to gossip. And it says in verse 6, it is reported among the nations. And Geshem, he says it's true. What is gossip? Gossip is something that you need to pass along quickly before you find out it's true, or not true, sorry. Gossip is something you need to pass along quickly before you find out it's not true. That's gossip. And oftentimes, whenever we have a juicy bit of gossip, you know what really adds clout to a bit of juicy gossip is that somebody with some clout, somebody of superiority, somebody in leadership said this. You see what I'm saying? And it distracts. It distracts us so grossly from the work that God has called us to do. There is nothing more damaging to the body of Jesus Christ than gossip this morning. I believe that gossip is a thing that takes the wind and the life out of not only the one that is being gossiped about, but the one that is gossiping. It takes the life out of the congregation when there is gossip running rampant and freely among the congregation. And I am here to tell you this morning that if you have been part of gossip, you are part of working with the enemy of God. It is not a work of God to tell things to other people that are destructive about somebody else. And I am sobered this morning as I thought about this and I thought about what they attempted to do. They attempted to discredit him. They set out, the message went out that he was trying to set himself up as king. And that he was trying to take over the city. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you find yourself, when someone is sharing a bit of gossip with you, if you find yourself leaning in a little bit to hear it, I don't want to miss a thing. I think that's a condition of the heart that needs to be examined. Because not only is it destroying the person that is sharing it, it's also destroying the person that it's being shared about. And I love Nehemiah's response. In verse 8, he said, "Then I sent to him saying, 'No such thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. You concocted this stuff in your own mind. You drummed up this. There is nothing like what you are saying is happening.'" And it's beautiful, beautiful response of Nehemiah. And you know what he says then? It says, "For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, 'Their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done.' And I'm here to tell you this morning that when gossip is running rampant and people are participating in gossip, it makes the hands of the workers weak. And you know what Nehemiah did? In verse 10, he says, what Nehemiah did was he said, now therefore, he turns to God. Okay, first of all, he reacts. He responds to this here accusation against him. He said, not true. That's putting it pretty simple in pretty simple words. How many times have we in life left the work of God to try and track down some kind of gossip about us personally? And we leave the work of God. We leave what God wants us to do. We leave the study of the Word. We leave caring for other people. We leave praying, and we search for it. It so consumes us that we have to find out where this rumor came from, and we have to put a stop to it. I love Nehemiah's response. He said, you concocted this in your own mind. This come from something you drummed up in your heart. And he left it at that. But you know what he did? He turned to God. And he said, God, strengthen my hands that they not become weakened. And I am here to tell you this morning, that is a prayer that each and every one of us should be praying today. Lord, strengthen my hands that they not be weakened. Because there are people who are willing to gossip about you. So when you have opportunities, say it's not true. Turn to God and say, strengthen my hands. And then you know what he did? They got back to work. They went back to work and they finished the wall. Gossip is a distraction that will destroy the kingdom of God. And it comes straight from the hands of Satan, the enemy of God. If people are trying to defame your character, tell them it's not true. Turn to God and ask Him to strengthen your hands. And number three, get back to work. Get back to work. Don't let it be something that's sidetracking you. Don't let it be something that is consuming your time, that you want to make this right at any cost. Say it's not true. Pray that God strengthen you and get back to work. It was the accusations against Nehemiah's character that they used to attempt to weaken his hands. Satan will use the same tactic on you today. He will accuse you. He will assassinate your character to get you discouraged so that you stop doing the great work that God called you to do. Unfortunately, it may have even come at the hands of someone you trusted. And the hurt runs deep. I believe the same thing applies. Say it's not true. And pray that God strengthen your hands and get back to work. Satan wants to weaken your hands. One thing that happens, the biggest thing that happens when we become distracted is that we lose sight of the great work that God has called us to do. We fail to encourage people. We fail to care for people. We fail to share the gospel message with people. What is in every statement that I made there? People. I believe that the whole heart of God is about people. The heart of God is about people. You want to know what the heart of God is? The heart of God is for people. And when we become distracted, we fail to care for people, we fail to encourage people, and we fail to share the gospel with people. Because why? 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 John MacArthur said this. He said that you have two types of people in the church. You have the pillars and the caterpillars. The pillars are the people who are involved in caring for people and encouraging people. The caterpillars are the people who crawl in and crawl out on a Sunday morning, never touching the lives of others. Thank God I don't see a lot of that happening here. But it is true. People that care about other people need to be involved with people. It's not really complicated. If you're going to care about people, if you're going to reach out to people, if you're going to encourage people, you have to be involved with people to do that. And that's not just church. That can happen at work, can happen with your neighbors, can happen everywhere. But as God's children, we are called to do that. Moving on. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of this other guy. I can't pronounce those names. Who was a secret informer. And he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. And let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you." Wow, that was insightful. Nehemiah already knew that. That was nothing new to him. He knew they were coming and wanting to kill him. And then this here guy comes along and he says, "Hey, let's go up in the temple. Let's go hide in the temple and lock the door." And it's surmised or commentary suggests that his possibility was that their intent was to kill him in the secret place of the temple where the people with the swords and stuff weren't there to guard him. That to get him away in a place. So, first of all, they can't get him with gossip. They can't get him with deceit. So now they try and get him with fear. They get him to do something that is contrary to the word of God, because it was not okay for Nehemiah to go into the temple, into the part where they can lock the door. So he says this, "For they are coming to kill you." Indeed, they're coming at night. That's scarier yet. They're coming at night to kill you. "And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him." And I want you to remember that. He perceived that God had not sent him. And in verse 13, skipping a few sentences there, "For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin." And I'm again here to tell you this morning that there are many things that the enemy will put in your place, in front of you, to cause you to fear and doubt and react in some way that is sinful. He will cause you to fear and to doubt and to react in some way that is sinful. And like Nehemiah, we need to recognize it. And again, Nehemiah goes to pray. He says, "My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and the prophetess Nadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid." He says, remember them. And how often do we recognize that when someone is trying to entice us into a trap, do we stop and pray for them? When someone is gossiping about us, how often do we stop and pray for them? But the beauty of this here story is, what I want to point out to us is that Nehemiah recognized that it was not coming from God. And I believe that's the challenge to all of us this morning. It's to recognize that gossip in its purest form is not coming from God. Deceit in its purest form is not coming from God. And the attempt of others to cause you to fear is not coming from God. Because God lifts up. He encourages. And I say this morning, why is it that we struggle with getting a clear sense of where it's coming from? And I believe it's because our minds are distracted. Our minds are distracted. We get caught up in so many things. We get caught up in what is going on in life. There's, for the sake of sounding, or at the risk of sounding repetitious, I'm here to challenge you this morning with the whole media thing. Please, if there ever was a distraction in our day, that's one of them. Think about the time that you're spending. Think about how much time it wraps up to sit in front of the TV. It's reported somewhere, and I don't think I wrote it down, but it was reported somewhere that the average American spends 3 hours a day watching TV. And I know that we are way above the, or we are better than the average. But that's like 52 days of solid TV in your life. 52 days of solid TV. The iPhone, great tool. Great tool. Do you have it, or does it have you? Facebook, great tool. Do you have it, or does it have you? That's the question I think we need to ask ourselves when we think about these things. And in the end, and it happened when the wall was finished, when our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that Nehemiah had done a great work. No, it doesn't say that. For they perceived that this work was done by our God. And would to God today that people would recognize that you as a believer in Jesus Christ and that we at New Covenant would be able to be said of us that they recognize that it was done of God and not of our own hands. And recognize when the enemy is trying to distract and to mislead. And so I leave you with this challenge this morning. Recognize that it is the sole energy of Satan is to distract us from what is good and what is right and what is pure and what is holy. Recognize him and deal with him the same way that Nehemiah did. Say it's not true. Turn to God and ask for strength for your hands and get back to work. Father, I do believe this morning that you have your word here for a purpose for us this morning. And I pray, Father, that you would protect the word as shared. I pray that you would protect the written word, that Satan would not be able to distract us from what you want to say this morning or what you have said. And what I pray that you would protect the words. I pray that your heart, Lord, would be our heart and that our minds would be connected to you and that you alone would receive the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And the chorus will come and lead us in song.